This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Are you struggling to find a job? A top recruiter says you can flip the power position, leverage your unique skills, and attract multiple offers, all while avoiding the common mistakes of job seekers.
You can shift from hoping to get interviews to landing multiple offers and feeling in control and excited about your next career step.
Then, there's a difference between good stress and bad stress. We'll explain.
This is the difference really between bad stress, which is chronic, and good stress, which is acute and is short term. And actually, it confers a physiological and psychological benefit.
Those two stories and much more are all coming your way on this week's edition of InfoTrack. The show gets underway right after this.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce! Spruce! Spruce!
It's
Spruce!
Spruce, the new, hard-working, worry-free weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people and pets. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Weeds die by the next day.
Who let the dogs out?
Find Spruce wherever weed killers are sold.
Sweetie, come here. Don't worry. I see a lot of patients with the exact same thing.
Ever since the ice skating rink went in next door,
or is it more than
Dr. Clark's business is heating up.
So many patients need my help. How will I find time to see all of them?
They need to hire a scheduler, stat.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code DANCE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DANCE. Enjoy.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Our next guest flipped the job search script and wrote a book about it. Madeline Mann is a former HR insider turned career strategist and author of Reverse the Search, How to Turn Job Seeking into Job Shopping. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Chris.
You introduced the concept of job shopping early in the book. Very briefly, how does that differ from traditional job seeking?
Job seeking is really this idea that we are at the employer's whim, that we just are lucky that they even pay us attention, and that in the interview, we should just try to answer all their questions to the best of our abilities. But job shopping goes in the direction of understanding that companies are looking for exceptional talent as well. And when you can use that to your advantage and really know the right strategies to get companies' attention, you can shift from hoping to get interviews to landing multiple offers and feeling in control and excited about your next career step.
Why do you argue that additional degrees and certifications don't often help job seekers stand out?
Degrees and certifications are good as baseline qualifications. But what I see for too many job seekers is that they think once they get the degree, once they get the next certification, they'll stand out, which is really, I've never seen a hiring manager make a decision of who to hire based on their additional certifications. It really comes down to the relationships you build and the experience you've created.
You're right that most people stay in jobs they don't like because they think things will work out. Why is that mindset so dangerous?
Because so many people are taking essentially the lazy river in their career, where they're letting the current of their career take them where they may without intentionally deciding where to go next. And there's a statistic that cites that 53% of people chose their career by simply stumbling into it. So for the most important, or at least one of the most important decisions of your entire life, too many of us are choosing to not choose. And that leads to a really unsatisfied life, sometimes not the right amount of earnings you want, and can really lead you to a career that is so much worse than if you had entered into it with more intentionality.
Our guest is Madeline Mann, author of Reverse the Search, How to Turn Job Seeking into Job Shopping. In your book, you share a client story about Alana, who job hunted while pregnant. And I'm wondering if you could briefly share that with us.
Alana was at her wit's end. She was working in learning and development at corporations. And when she got my coaching, she was really just looking for any job. And she was very nervous because she was 6 months pregnant when she was job searching. So she couldn't go into an interview without them immediately knowing her big secret. And what happened was, instead of her going from this desperation mindset, I just need to get something, I need to get employed, she changed the entire way she presented herself. She changed the way she talked about herself on her resume. She shifted the way she appeared in interviews to where her messaging was all about how to solve the company's problems. And I kid you not, Chris, she went from having zero job offers to, when she shifted to job shopping strategies, to have 9 job offers, all from companies competing for her, despite knowing that she was going to take maternity leave shortly after. And so what I hope people take away from this is that you maybe are dealt a hand of cards that makes your job search more difficult than that person whose aunt works at Merrill Lynch and just going to get you a job. But if you really apply these strategies, you can still stand out even if you're an unconventional candidate.
You talk about career security instead of job security. What is the difference?
Job security is this lie that doesn't exist anymore. That, oh, I have this secure job. Chris, we were told that secure jobs were government jobs, right? Or that they are working at these large companies. Yet we're seeing layoffs left and right from these, quote, secure jobs. So we have to throw job security out the window. Can't trust it. Career security is this idea that should your work situation become unstable, you have to move, you get laid off, you get fired, whatever it is, you are able to land your next offer quickly and in the timeline that you require. And so that means that you are building your personal brand, you are building those relationships, you are keeping your network warm, you're having all of your job shopping assets ready to go so that the moment that you need to get more opportunities, you're able to get it, and you have the flexibility for the rest of your career.
In the beginning of your book, you mentioned 5 myths about job seeking. Which one of those is the most damaging and why?
The most damaging myth I see is that I must be open to as many opportunities as possible. And Chris, the way that this manifests itself is, someone will say, oh, well, I'm going to present myself as good at marketing and good at project management and product management and customer success. And I'm going to brand myself as being good at all of these things, because if I don't, I could miss out on an opportunity. But what unfortunately is happening is that by branding yourself as good at everything, you come across as great at nothing. And companies will run in the other direction and not want to hire you. It's actually much better to not only focus on a specific role type, but make sure that the leveling is correct, and focusing on a single industry can also increase the number of inquiries you get and job offers.
How can somebody build experience if they don't already have a job in that field?
There are quite a few different ways that you can do this. First, if you have over 10 years of job experience, there's so much that you can show that is transferable. So the first thing I would recommend you do is, if you have greater than 10 years of experience, to look and see how you can position your transferable skills, which is a big thing we talk about in Reverse the Search. But beyond that, if you're looking to gain more skills, I really recommend building personal projects. Even messaging someone who works at a small business and saying, hey, can I do a pro bono project for you so I can flex certain skills? I just helped a client. She needed to build more quantitative research skills. She works in market research. And so I put her in contact with a few business owners of small businesses, and she did a few projects for them. And what I think a lot of people really devalue is maybe that project took her 6 hours. And they might say, well, that just took me 6 hours. Can I really put that on my resume? Yes, you can. It takes 20 hours to build tangible skills in any given area. So if you could just start flexing those muscles and making real world impact versus just relying on education, that can take you really far. The bottom line is, if you are going to get promoted, if you're going to be able to transition teams, whatever you want, there's a bit of a likability campaign that you will have to do. You want that anyone who comes in contact with you at a role to speak very highly of you. And then put recurring meetings on your calendar with that person. And now you have this easy built-in way to stay in touch with them.
Reverse the Search, How to Turn Job Seeking into Job Shopping. Madeline Mann is the author. Madeline, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Next, being stressed out, is it good or bad? The answer when InfoTrack continues.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned. With Progressive, renters can save on protection for the things that make your place yours. Even things that don't make sense to everyone.
People always wonder why I don't get rid of my guitar, since I never play. But it's like, what if I actually end up taking lessons? Sure, I've had it for 8 years, but if I get rid of it, then what will my New Year's resolution be next January?
Exactly. So bundle your renters and auto and save with Progressive. And protect the things that make sense to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers not available in all states or situations. Covered subject to policy terms and conditions.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce! Spruce! Spruce!
It's Spruce, the new hard-working, worry-free weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people and pets. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Weeds die by the next day.
Who let the dogs out?
Find Spruce wherever weed killers are sold.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code DANCE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DANCE. Enjoy.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
You might think that any kind of stress is bad for you, but one expert says some forms of stress can actually benefit you. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Jeff Krasno, the co-founder and CEO of Commune, a masterclass platform for personal and societal well-being, and now the author of the book Good Stress, The Health Benefits of Doing Hard Things. Jeff, your book challenges the conventional wisdom that stress is inherently bad. Can you explain the concept of good stress and why it's beneficial?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a modern association with stress as something bad, and that is justifiable, given that modern stress tends to be chronic and in the wrong dosage. So many of us, through 24-hour news and algorithmically preferenced social media or financial hardship, you know, work issues, we are dealing with chronic stress. But when you actually untangle stress and look at it at its core, we are designed as human beings to have an adaptive response to that stress. And that is because we evolved over hundreds of thousands of years on the Serengeti and for millions of years as hominids before that to actually have positive responses to stress that ensured our biological survival. So Roy, you know, you may be in traffic someday and some car cuts you off and you know that feeling of your increased heart rate and increased respiratory rate, the aperture of your attention becomes very, very narrow. You know, you don't trust the world, you become very self-obsessed, and that's for very, very good reason because you have a biological imperative to survive. But then that car keeps going and you bounce back to homeostasis, you bounce back to the middle. I think the problem with the modern day is that you never stopped getting, you know, a car swerving into your lane or the rattlesnake never leaves the path, etc. And so this is the difference really between bad stress, which is chronic, and good stress, which is acute and is short term. And actually, when we look at it, it confers a physiological and psychological benefit.
Your book refers to doing hard things. Can you maybe give us some examples of hard things that can benefit us from a health standpoint?
Fasting, for example, has become more and more popular. You know, this is a protocol of time-restricted eating in which, let's say, you can consolidate your consumption of food into an eight-hour window. You know, we're very used to modern society to being able to access shelf-stable, nutrient-deficient, highly processed calories all the time. And of course, what do we see? We see a massive obesity epidemic in the United States. So through giving yourself just a little bit of discomfort and managing a little bit of hunger, we actually can control weight, but we also activate all of these other incredible longevity pathways, you know, through calorie restriction and through time-restricted eating. We clean up what are known as these zombie cells, these senescent proteins that are dysfunctional. We actually make new mitochondria. These are our like energy power plants in our cells. And so we, again, evolved with a degree of calorie scarcity. And now, of course, now we have to self-impose that scarcity from time to time. So that's one example. I think one other example that a lot of people are familiar with are just muscle hypertrophy or like growing bigger muscles. So Roy might go to the gym, and I'm not sure, but if he does, he might stress a biceps muscle. And really what's happening there is he's causing a little bit of insult to that muscle. You know, he's ripping the microfibers and there's an immune response, a little inflammation. And in response, the body activates these structural proteins and you give that biceps enough rest and you eat enough protein. And what happens? It grows back bigger. So this is the basic idea. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And in the right dosage, if you really look at stress, our bodies are so designed to be adaptive, have adaptive responses to it.
I understand your personal experience with stress was an inspiration to write this book. Tell us that story.
Yeah, well, what started as more intellectual curiosity around why people are so sick became an inquest based around physical necessity. So 5 years ago, you know, I had all of these very modern anodyne symptoms, you know, brain fog, chronic fatigue, insomnia, irritability, inability to concentrate. So many people can, I think, relate to those. I had like dad bod. I have three daughters and I had that little inner tube around, you know, my waist. I had what my daughters love to call the boobs of man. This is what daughters do to dads. And then I got a diabetes diagnosis. And those early symptoms that I mentioned are just so utterly common that we tend to write them off in modern society, but they're really quite abnormal. And nobody on the Serengeti ever experienced brain fog or diabetes. You know, these are really diseases of modernity. You know, we're really choosing the way that we get sick and die, and not with a tremendous amount of thoughtfulness. So this really propelled me on this inquiry to figure out like why I was so sick and by extension, why so many of us are so sick. 60% of Americans now have a chronic disease, 40% have two chronic diseases. What I discovered was that the overwhelming majority of chronic disease is the result of chronic ease. that we've actually at every turn over the last 100 years, but particularly accelerating in the last 50 years, engineered our society for comfort and ease and convenience. And that way of life, that culture is really hijacking our biology and leading to a lot of sickness. And I was right in the middle of that American nightmare, and I had to adopt a lot of protocols. I interviewed 400 doctors on my podcast, and I engaged in a ton of what I call me search. I jumped into my own N of one petri dish and tried it all, you know, practices and praxies and mushrooms and modalities and everything that's out there. I sifted through a lot of grift and found a series of protocols that reversed my type 2 diabetes. I lost 65, 70 pounds. I put on a ton of muscle. But kind of even more importantly, I just became a better dad and a better partner and a more emotionally regulated human being.
If listeners are going to take away just one lesson or one final word of advice from your book, what would you hope it would be?
The main idea is this. For years and years and years, I told myself that I was a simply like chubby kid that would never be liked, that I would do anything to please others, and that my fate was essentially written in my genetic stars. And then, you know, I started to embark on both a spiritual quest and also a quest to more understand my physiology. And, you know, the Buddha 2,500 years ago sat under the Bodhi tree and had this notion, this awakening that we're impermanent, right? That everything is constructing and destructing. So clinging to something or craving something was just futile because everything is in flux. And then when I started to study actually human physiology and open the hood on my organism, the same exact Satori or reality was revealed. You know, Roy, you and I are just like 7 octillion atoms experiencing 37 billion billion. That's not a typo. 37 billion billion chemical reactions per second. Change is not only available to us, it's all that's on offer. Change is possible in your life. In fact, it's all there is. And when you know that you are just process and product, then you have tremendous agency to adopt certain behaviors and change your environment such that you can be moving towards a healing state. That's called wholeness. That's the process of healing, or you can be moving towards disease and disconnection. That is the process of ailing. And because we're impermanent, because we're always changing, we actually have tremendous power and agency over the trajectory of our lives. So that's really the message that I want people to take away, is that change is not only possible, it's all that is available to you.
Jeff Krasno, the author of the book, Good Stress, The Health Benefits of Doing Hard Things. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Roy. I appreciate it.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce! Spruce! Spruce!
It's
Spruce!
Spruce, the new hard-working, worry-free weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people and pets. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray... they play. Weeds die by the next day. Find Spruce wherever weed killers are sold.
Hey, Green Goblin here. So you've got a clogged drain in your bathroom. Water in the sink's overstaying its welcome. You're spitting today's toothpaste on top of yesterday's toothpaste. You hope that it'd go away. Yeah, clogs don't just go away. I make them go away. I'm Green Goblin, the only clog dissolver you need. I'm bleach-free, safe for your pipes, and I work. Guaranteed or your money back. Because I never met a clog that was going to unclog itself. Green Gobbler. Let the gobbler get it.
Traditional ways of teaching kids to write might be stifling their creativity and freedom of expression. It's all about how you approach writing education for your children. InfoTrack's Jim Anthony has the details. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Today we're diving into a challenge many of us, kids and adults alike, know all too well, writing. But how can we help, especially children, move past those hurdles and develop the writing skills they need to communicate effectively and with confidence? Here to help sort it out is esteemed author and educator Julie Bogart. She's out with a new book called Help! My Kid Hates Writing. Julie, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
A prevailing theme in your book is that self-expression is so critical to the success of writing from a young age. With that in mind, why do so many kids struggle with writing?
Unfortunately, the way that we teach writing in school is vastly different than the way we teach it when we're trying to teach people who want to be professional writers, for instance. We tend to focus so much on the mechanics, handwriting, spelling, and punctuation, that we forget about the self-expression behind those transcription skills. Most children, by the time they're age 5, are fluent in English. But unfortunately for them, they're just beginning to read and handwrite. And so when we ask them to self-express in writing, their thoughts are being gatekept behind those mechanical skills that are undeveloped. If we require accuracy and perfect mechanics, our kids literally have to dumb down the content of their thoughts to match the level of handwriting and punctuation and spelling skill that they have. Very quickly, they lose heart because the clever, insightful, quirky things that they would have expressed get lost behind all of that struggle to handwrite.
So if self-expression is taking, say, a backseat to the conventional teaching approach, that which we're used to, are we doing our kids a disservice, do you think? Are we taking the fun out of learning to write?
Yes. In fact, we're taking more than fun away. We're actually taking away their sense of identity and self. Once kids discover that the words that live inside them deserve to be written and enjoyed by an interested audience, they have a completely different relationship to writing. One of the things that I like to do, especially with young kids who are just learning to read and write, is to jot down their words on their behalf when they aren't expecting it. So let's say you're making dinner and Johnny comes running in from outside and he starts telling a little story about how his dog was chasing a squirrel. If you stop what you're doing, grab, you know, the back of a envelope from the bank or a supermarket receipt and start jotting down his exact words without announcing that you're doing it, your child will suddenly see that writing is occurring, but they don't know why. What I always say at that point is to say to your child, "Hey, honey, this is so good. I don't want to forget it, so I'm writing it down." Later that night at dinner, you can pull out that little narrative and announce to the family, "Johnny was telling me this story about the dog and the squirrel, and I was afraid I was going to forget it, so I wrote it down, and I just want to tell you it now." And then read that narrative aloud. When we do this, we demonstrate to our kids that the words that live inside them right now are already worthy of being captured, enjoyed, and read to an interested audience. And it's incredible. You can watch the light bulb go on in a child when you try this practice. It's like the first time they've really connected that writing is about what they have to say, not what they think the teacher wants them to say.
One last question for you. We live in a world today of TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and now AI. What role does technology play in helping children with writing today?
Anytime new technology arrives, it's always a little terrifying at first because letting go of the old ways feels unnerving. That said, AI is a whole other level. I know that if I go on to ChatGPT and ask for marketing language, I can write marketing language, but it can do it in split seconds on ChatGPT. So the temptation to use these tools, these powerful, amazing tools, is at its highest moment. But I like to remind parents that kids have always found ways to cheat. What we really want to do is help kids feel the power of their individuality. And what we really want is for our kids to identify that they have things worth saying, and they use these tools to help them say it.
The book is called Help, My Kid Hates Writing. Julie Bogart, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.
Filled with pills. pickup trucks. Got old Hank cranking way up now. Got coolers in the back, tailgates down. There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed. It's just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. It's been on a tractor, ain't seen Becky all week. Somebody said they seen them headed down to the creek. Farmer Johnson's daughter's just pulled up in a Jeep. Man, he knows how to grow them, if you know what I mean. Old Dave's getting loud, but he don't mean no harm. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. You can have a lot of fun in a New York minute, but there's some things you can't do inside those city limits. I ain't no closing time, I ain't no cover charge. Just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Come as you are, there ain't no dress code, just some rule out rules that you need to know. Don't mess with the bull, he can get real mean. Don't forget to shut the gate, stay out of the beans. If it starts to rain, we'll just head to the barn. We're country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Closing time, ain't no cover charge, just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Ain't no closing time, ain't no cover charge, just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Oh, let's get down, y'all. Stay out of that hay.
Muskie 101.
I got my shades on top back, rolling with the music jack. One on the wheel, one around you, baby.
A little sun left to burn in the blue sky, shining off the cross hanging from the mirror of my ride. Breeze blowing in, your hair blowing round. You're scanning through the stations looking for that country sound. The good stuff, iced up in the back seat. Nowhere to go, nowhere to be. I got my shades on top back, rolling with the music jack. One on the wheel, one around you, baby. Sunset, I bet there's a chance we could get shore enough. Tangled up, lay back and lazy. Nothing but time tonight. Let's get to killing it. Long as I'm rocking with you, girl, you know I'm cool with just chilling it. Nothing but two-lane country on up ahead. Girl, you're so fine, I wouldn't mind if this is all we did. You got me high on kisses, you got me missing signs. Hard looking left when my world is on my right. I got my shades on top back, rolling with the music jack. One on the wheel, one around you, baby. Sunset, I bet there's a chance we could get shore enough. Tangled up, laid back and lazy. Pour it on easy now, don't spill a bit. Nothing but time tonight, let's get to killing it. Long as I'm rocking with you, girl, you know I'm cool with just chilling it. Nothing like a little you and me, low key. Right now I'm right where I wanna be. I got my shades on top back, rolling with the music jack. One on the wheel, one around you, baby. Sunset, I bet there's a chance we could get shore enough. too fast. And the interstate's jammed with gunners like me, afraid of coming in last. But somewhere in the race we run, we're coming up.
Definitely more music.
It's your country.
101.1.
Muskie 101.
A tornado tore through a Midwest town. Wasn't nothing in its path it didn't take down. Except the Baptist church and a ball field. Then they rebuilt. Talk about tough people. She was 4 years old when they got the news. It was in her little lungs, it was stage two. Mama spent every night by her bed and Daddy shaved his head. Talk about tough people. Yeah, there were plenty of times she could have gave up, but she didn't. Now she fought like hell till she rang that bell in Memphis. Beats evil, and tough times make tough people. It's a single mom working two jobs a day, and a farmer barely getting by needing rain. It's a grandma waiting tables working through the pain.
there to keep us all free. Came back in a box with a flag on it. Hits home, don't it? Talk about tough people. Man, talk about some tough people.
One FM, Muskie 101.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. 20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think 96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Muskie 101.
Yeah, tonight.
mama, bring your papa, bring your sister too. They got lots of music and lots of room. When they play you a waltz from the 1910, you're gonna feel a little bit young again. Well, you learn to dance with your rock and roll. You learn to sway with the do-say-do. But you learn to love at the fe-do-do when you hear a little show le blanc. Saturday night and the moon is out. I wanna head on over to the twist and shout. Find a two-step bar to red occasion beat. When it lifts me up, I'm gonna find my feet. Out in the middle of a big dance floor, when I hear that fiddle, wanna beg for more. Wanna dance to a band from Louisiana tonight.
Class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendants. 30,000 feet above could be Oklahoma. Just a bunch of square cornfields and wheat farms, man, it all looks the same. Miles and miles of back roads and highways connecting little towns with funny names. Who'd want to live down there in the middle of nowhere? They've never drove through Indiana. Met the man who plowed that earth, planted that seed, busted his ass for you and me. You're caught a harvest moon in Kansas. They'd understand why God made those flyovers. That mile-long Santa Fe freight train engineer seen it all. It's like that flatbed cowboy stacking U.S. steel on a three-day haul. Roads and rails under their feet. Yeah, that sounds like a first-class seat on the plains of Oklahoma. With a windshield sunset in your eyes, like a watercolor painted sky, you think heaven's doors have opened. You'll understand why God made those flyover states. Take a ride across the Badlands. Feel that freedom on your face, breathe in all that open space, and meet a girl from Amarillo. You'll understand why God made it. You might even want to plant your stakes in those flyover states.
It's great.
The most country music.
Streaming 24/7.
Muskie 101.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Musky 101.
Nobody in his right mind would have left her. That was her favorite song. She sang along every time it came on. First time we danced was to Marina Del Rey, and I fell right there and then. I didn't want that song to end. Baby blue was the color of her eyes. I can still see them in my mind. Probably will for the rest of my life. Damn straight, you're killing me, man.
Killing the man, you know I've always been your. You know I've always been your biggest fan, and now I can't even listen, 'cause I'll get to missing her. Then the hurt gets worse. Damn straight, I used to love your songs, but now every time that one comes on, my heart gets broke in half. But do I wish I could get her back? Damn straight. Damn straight. Nobody in his right mind would have left her. That was her favorite song. She sang along every time it came on.
Reaching ball.